Okay, good morning. We thank God for this other time for us to meet here for His Word. As you know, we began a new series entitled The Lord's Model Prayer. And last Sunday we looked at its introduction. Remember, I told you that the model prayer, this was not the prayer that Jesus Christ wanted His disciples to be praying, but it was a model, an example of prayer. So He wanted us to get things that we have of importance from it. Again, I told you that it is composed of six petitions, okusaba kwa mirundi mukaga, six different petitions, preceded by an introductory phrase, which we looked at last Sunday. Last Sunday we simply looked at the introductory phrase, that is, Our Father who art in heaven. And in that, we learned really that Father is not mine alone. It is for me and all of you, my children, or my family members, and all the people in the world. And we also learned from Our that God does not want selfishness in His people, because God Himself is not selfish. God is one, but He has been working in three persons since eternity past, and they will work together like that till eternity future. So He does not want any spirit of selfish okweyagala. So that's why Our, when you pray for yourself, always pray also for others. And Father, we saw really how Jesus wanted to introduce His Father to us also, to the people that He came to redeem, so that He could bring us from far off to the family of God. So which word do I want to use here? How good it is for us to call God Father. We are nothing. What a privilege. That's the word I was looking for. What a privilege for us to go to address the Creator of the heavens and the earth as Father. The more you continue knowing God, the more He continues revealing Himself to you, the more you will see that no, we don't really deserve to call Him Father. But He is our Father through Christ Jesus. So again, we learned that as you are happy, you start rejoicing that God is also our Father, don't forget that this Father is not in Kampala or Nairobi or Johannesburg, but this Father is where? In heaven. The heaven is the place of righteousness and holiness. Therefore, you need to fear and tremble a bit, because you are addressing a holy Father. Yeah, so today we are beginning with our very first petition, okusaba, our very first petition, which is found in the phrase, Our Lord be thy name. I totally agree with those who believe that of all the six petitions, this short prayer that we are dealing with today, the first one is the greatest, the most powerful, Mazima Wangu, as we say in Uganda here. Other petitions are also important, and they are also very, very big, they are also big, but this one is the biggest. So as we are going to see. But before that, let's first read our text again, Matthew chapter 6, and I'm reading only from verses 9 to 13. Matthew 6, 9 to 13 reads, Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray. Father, we are back again before your presence and in your word to continue with our series on the Lord's model prayer that we started last Sunday. Lord, we pray that you'll use your Holy Spirit through your Holy Spirit, you're going to use me to share this word to us faithfully without adding in it or reducing anything from it. Allow me to speak only that which is yours, that which comes from you, not from my mind, Lord. To the edification of our souls and to the glory of our great Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to take you through 3 points. Just quickly. Number one, we are going to look at the first one that I've called, Why the Name? Why the Name? Then two, we will look at what is that name? And three, what does it mean to keep it holy, that name? So those are the 3 points we'll try. There are 3 questions that we'll try to answer. Why the name? So the phrase is found in verse 9, Hallowed be your name. And I want to, so the phrase has got 4 words. Hallowed is the first, be the second, your the third, and name the last. And I want to begin with the last name. Why the name? So you guys have got many things that belong to you. You can say this book belongs to David. This table belongs to Gloria. This what? So now, God also has got many things. And among the many things he has got also a name. But when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, Hallowed be. Okay, you'll understand I'm going to explain when I come to the word hallow, what that means. But I'm now on the name. Why the name? Okay, just for you to understand, hallow simply means to praise be your name. Enyaro itukuziwe. Praise be, so because that is old English, let me just use modern English. Praise be your name. Glorified be your name. So now my question is, why the name? Why not praise be your area, your land where you are, that heaven where it dwells? Why not praise be your people? Why not praise be many, many things that belong to God? But why name? What is behind the name? In other words, that's what we want to look at. In the biblical world, one's name embodied one's character. We say they are Bible. The character, they were one thing. The name of a person, you could not separate it from the character of that very person. It stood for a person's identity and authority. That's why I always tell you to be very careful about your names. What do you do in this area here? When you say, Dad, Mom, I want to take a walk. Yes, okay, take a walk. But how do you walk? What do you do there? So the name of a person comes with, it has his or her character and identity. Or munto yo chai. So, and I always give you this illustration at church. You know it very well about Muhoozi Kainerugaba. Muhoozi Kainerugaba is the first son in this country. The first born son of our president, Yoweri Museveni. And I always tell you, just to quickly again to remind you, if, say, Muhoozi one day, because many people don't know him, many Ugandans really don't know him, and it might not be easy to recognize him. Let's say some one day just he puts on normally, and he goes to town, very few recognize him as he's moving among the crowds of Kampala City. And then he goes to the new taxi park and he boards one taxi. one taxi going to someone else, coming to Mbugu or to Matuga. So just first remember the taxi, the way we sit in them before Corona came, we sit 3-3. Sometimes they want to put 4, these conductors. So now, he sits next to you or to anyone. You don't know him. You simply know inside your mind that the first son, the son of our president here, is called Muhoozi Kainerugaba, and he is a general. Is he a general? I think so, yeah. I think he's now a general. So you only know that, but the person, you don't know him. Then he sits next to you because he puts on normally like any other person. And then you squeeze him, you extend towards him and you squeeze him. And then he tells you, Jonah, Glory, Priscilla, you're squeezing me. Push a little bit there. And as you know, some Ugandans, you know, especially in our taxis, some don't behave well. And say, don't disturb me, look at his big head. Look at him. Am I the conductor? He's the one who was put here, the fourth person, and you're asking me to extend there. Look at his big head. And then only you hear from behind, maybe someone knew him, or maybe himself just says, why are you insulting me now? What wrong have I done against you? And he simply puts his hand in his pocket, he brings out his card, identity card, he gives it to you, and you see the word, the names there, Muhoozi Kainerugaba. And maybe when you turn towards him and you look at the face, you say, oh yes, I saw him in a newspaper or on television. This is the one. Immediately, you start extending away from him yourself without anyone pushing you, forcing you. Why? Because you know that you're in trouble. Just by the fact that maybe you've heard from someone behind you, you're talking to this one, this is Muhoozi Kainerugaba. And you know that those names belong to the first son, the son of the president. That's enough. I'm finished. You know, our countries don't have laws. It's not like those other countries with democracy, with real democracy. Yeah, but here, yes, you are finished. How could you talk to the first son like that, and you start extending yourself to leave gap, to leave space between you and him? So just to show you how a name carries someone's characters and titles. Because what do I have to do is just Muhoozi Kainerugaba. But those names come with the position they have in this land. The son of the president. Not only that, one of the generals in this country. So today you can sleep in jail if he decides. Just a simple call. The taxi will stop and people will come. But they will take you with the car to take you to jail without you stepping down. Yeah, so why the name? There is everything in the name of God. Everything. So it is to know, therefore, to know God's name is to know his character. So you know the character of God, you can find them in his attributes. God is love. God is merciful. God is spirit. God is. So when you know God's name, you know his character, you know how he behaves. Slow to anger, contrary to us. To know his name is to know what he likes and dislikes. So you are seeing that everything about God is hidden in his name. I want to leave but okay. Let me first, yeah, maybe I'll bring this a bit later. Let's go to the second point quickly. Okay, so now if it praise be your name, our Father who art in heaven, praise be your name. So, why the name? I've shown you quickly that a name of any person holds everything about that person. So now, if now Jesus Christ also knows that the name of God has everything about God, he wants his people to be praising it day and night. What is that name? Can you praise the name you don't know? Because obviously my master Jesus wants me to be praising, to be glorifying, lifting high the name of God. What is it that I don't know? The God who revealed himself to Moses is not some abstract deity. Deity is bukatonda. Abstract is something that is just there, that cannot be seen. It's not like something that does not exist. This God who revealed himself to Moses is not some abstract deity like the false gods of other religions. This God is not an impersonal force, a man, just man, a force that is not a person. Jesus Christ himself told us that God is spirit. God is spirit, but the wind that is blowing even right now here, neither I nor you can call it he or she. You can't. Do you know that this wind is male or female? But this God is he. And that's why I normally correct people. And that's why in our church we want you people to be praying loudly and one at a time. We don't want the prayer like the prayer that we used to pray those years, or the prayer that we hear in some churches. When in terms of for prayer, the pastor or the leader of the church says, okay, let us pray for the elections in our country. Let's pray, and everyone, they all say, oh, no one is hearing what the other is praying. In our church, we pray one at a time. Others keep quiet. If you want to pray, you can pray inside your heart, but you are hearing what the other is praying. Because this is where we hear whether you are praying biblically or not. In many churches in this country, we hear people say, oh God, send your Holy Spirit in our church. Let it come and strengthen us. Let it come and give us boldness. Let it? Do you know what you are praying about? Let it? Let him. Obviously, the Holy Spirit also has no body, just like God the Father. It's only God the Son, the second person of Godhead, who has a body. Both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are just spirit. But it is he. Let him come. So, this God, because now, what is that name? This God is not an impersonal force somewhere out there. Instead, he is a personal God with a personal name. Just as everyone here got a personal name. In Uganda here, when you go and tell someone, what's your name? My name is Jonathan. Okay, yes. But what's your name? I've told you Jonathan, yes, but what's your name? Because here, we believe that the surname, the name of the clan, that's your real name. But what's your name? So, in Uganda here, Jonathan, David, Gloria, blah, 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 names, they're not considered as names. But when you say Masika, when you say you say Twahewa, when you say Masereka, now you've started talking. That's now your name. Jesus tells his disciples, when you pray, address your words to this heavenly Father, is your Father. But always let His name be hallowed, be praised. Which name? Exodus chapter 3, the text we read in our first reading this morning. Let's just go just quickly there and I show you something here. Exodus chapter 3. Let's see how God went revealing himself slowly to mankind. And here he's dealing with Moses at the burning bush. I'm going to begin only from verse 13. You know the story and we've read it this morning. We'll read through it. Exodus 3, 13 and up to 15. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Listen, this is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. I want people to be remembering me in these names forever and ever, in all generations. Yeah, so this is the story of the burning bush that you know very well. Those of you who have been going to church, or those of you who read the Bible, how Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, and as he was going to look for greener pastures, Omudo Murungi, he was going further and further and further, not knowing that he had gone far from the home, from their home, to Mount Horeb, that is called the Mount of God. And that's when he heard behind him a voice calling him, Moses, Moses. This personal God with a personal name who knows your names, all your names. Moses was like, what? This is the wilderness. One. And two, I'm far away from home. I've left the house far away. This is the wilderness. No people live here. Who is calling me by my name? And he wanted to turn to see who was calling him. Instead, he saw just a bush, that sort of a big flower on fire, but not burning. It was burning, but not consumed. And the conversation started with that. I want to get my children from the bondage of the Egyptians. I want to use you. Therefore, go and say, Pharaoh, this and this and this. Moses is listening. And then in verse 13, he says that, who is this I'm talking to, or who's talking to me? And then he asks, then Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel, you know, they were also not easy people. Someone who is already, far in suffering. They're going to ask me, and who are you? Remember, they knew him very well. Well, this is Victor. The son of Pastor Bill. So you are coming to tell us that God wants to use you to get us from here. What is his name? If they ask me that question, what am I going to answer them? And he says, no friend, Moses, I am not a nameless God like these other small gods. I have a name. My name is I Am. Nipo. Go and tell them, I am who I am has told me, has sent me. So, there's a lot of, I'm not teaching on this, but I'll be expounding the meaning behind I am. He is the God, we sing it even in our songs, who was, who is, and who is to come. Who has always been there. Even before anything was in existence. He is. Never use words when you are talking about it. Don't say, before my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was born, my God was. Never use God was with God. Before anything was, yeah, you can use was to other things, God is. Even when you are speaking your English, you know, we always tell you that God breaks the the laws of anything. He breaks the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the laws of chemistry, the laws of grammar. In grammar, when you say before the world was created, God is, that is Mbogo, we call it in Uganda Mbogo. He is a big mistake. But with God, that is grammar. Before anything was created, before the world was, God is. Yeah, so he calls himself I am. And then listen down there what he says. In verse 15, God also, or again, said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord. It's another name. The Lord. Amen. This Lord is not, because you have many lords, but this Lord is the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And I like these words. This is my name forever. This is my name forever. And like this, I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Are we part of those generations? Yes. When you are calling upon that name, call him I am, call him the Lord, call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't call him the God of Pastor Bill Issa. Don't. Just don't. We hear people here now start praying to the God of their pastors in this capital city of the country. Go to the prayer mountain. I always say to go, you'll hear what people can't hear there. Remember me now. Bless me with a car. Oh God of Bugembe. Oh God of Serwada. Oh God of Stephen Seriala. Oh God of Stephen Senfuma. Oh God of Robert Kayanja. Please never do that. Never do that. Do you know their gods? What if Wagenda Munyanja? What if they get their powers from the devil? How do you know? You cannot be sure of the gods of these other people, but those that the God himself gave to us, those three names. Why should you start replacing them now? I know this is a modern time. Those three names, Abraham and Isaac, are of old. We need to replace them with the modern names. Oh God of Benihim, God of Perfil Dola, oh God of Bless Me, God of Joyce Meyer. Never do that. You're going to worship demons. You're going to worship Lucifer. He has a name. This is a personal God with a personal name. Isaiah 47:4 says this. Isaiah 47 verse 4 tells us this about the name of God. That the Lord Almighty is his name. He's not a nameless God. 47:4. Say, our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Is the Holy One of Israel. The Lord of hosts, in other versions, says the Almighty God. Isaiah 57:15 tells us again about the name of God. 57:15 says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. So these words in Isaiah were written many years before these words in Matthew 6 that we are studying this morning. Whose name is holy? And Jesus Christ says, praise be your name. Okay, I'll come to that shortly. So now let's go to our third point quickly. Now we are coming to back to our text. So hallowed be your name. So we've been still on the word name. Now we are going back to the first word, hallowed. Why the name? Because there is power There's everything about God in His name. So, what does it mean to keep it holy or hallowed? The old English word hallowed comes from the verb to hallow. To hallow, which means to sanctify, to make holy, or to regard as holy. And now, here, now I start using these modern words. You know, you see, to make holy. But when it comes to God, no one can make Him holy. No one, nothing can make Him holy, because He is already holy. We are the ones who can be made holy. God cannot be made holy. That's why when we say, hallowed be your name, don't interpret it as make God holy, because you cannot make God holy. God is already holy. So I can put it this way. Keep His name holy. Keep, maintain His name holy. He is holy already. It's our duty to keep His name holy. So now, our Father what in heaven, let your name be kept holy, in modern English. That hallowed be your name. Let your name be kept holy. The first request of Jesus' model prayer is that God's name would be kept holy. Imagine, six petitions. But the very first one that came from the heart of the Savior, Jesus Christ, is that the name of His Father, the name of His God, should be kept holy. The greatest of all the petitions. You miss that, you miss all the coming five petitions. Now, the question is, okay, we've known why it's the name that should be kept holy. Because the name of anything, of any person, has everything, is identity and character. The name of a person is that very person. Then two, what is that name? With himself, he has got a mouth, we cannot speak for him. He has told us that is I am, the great I am. Indeed. Niko, the Almighty, El Shaddai. So you can include there His titles, His attributes, the God of mercy. How can a human being slap God and again goes to Him one day? Because of His mercy. We slapped Him in the Garden of Eden by disobeying His command. But you and me are hoping one day to go and be with Him in glory and say, come quickly, O Lord Jesus. How? How come? It's because of His great mercy. And now, so after knowing His name, so remember, His name is tied together with His attributes, with His character. So you know the attributes, because there are many. So now, to keep His name holy, what is that? Or how do you go about that? To keep His name holy. That's now the last question we start to answer as we drive towards the end of our message. So now, just as said, let your name be kept holy. So now, how do you do that? So, this word here, this phrase we are preaching on, is just the opposite of the third commandment. The opposite. Just that was in opposite. A man, the opposite is a woman. Up, the opposite is down. Black, white. So now here, this is the opposite of the third commandment found in Exodus 20, verse 7. You will not take the name of the God, the Lord of God, in vain. So, they are the same. Remember, again, in our church, I preached through the Ten Commandments. And if you can remember what we said on that third commandment, So let me just go there quickly and I show you. Exodus 20 verse 7. Yeah, so because now I want to explain to you what it means to keep the name of the Lord our God holy. So now Exodus chapter 20. Let me begin with the second commandment. The second one says, you shall not make for yourself carved images. And then verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Yeah, so if you want to keep the name of God your holy, number one, you have to avoid taking it in vain. That's the first answer. Just the opposite, the negative opposite of it. Now, what is to take the name of God in vain is to utilize it, to use it in vain purposes. Moving to Vitagasa. And when I preached on this third commandment at RBC, I gave you some examples. And these days we are living in the world of I like the way one preacher put it. He said we are living in the world of the OMG, omnipresence. You know, omnipresence is being everywhere at the same time. So OMG is oh my God. So we are living in the era of oh my God, omnipresence. So you find oh my God everywhere. Oh my God, everywhere with any person. You use oh my God for everything, for every circumstance. When you want to steal something and you miss, maybe you are trying to break someone's padlock to steal things in the house and you fail. Oh my God. Really? These fans of football, when Lionel Messi misses to score, oh my God. So you see, just using the name of God when you are taking a bribe, when you are doing sinful things, just one example of misusing the name of God, taking it in vain. And God says, down here, He says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So now, you find that in the second commandment, God was prohibiting or stopping Gadana and prohibiting people from misusing the name of God through their eyes. But here now it was through the mouth, the thought, through the mouth. So don't make for yourself any image or anything. So now, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Sorry. So other people tell you, okay, don't swear anyhow. And where you are seated, you might say, oh, me, I'm okay. Since they taught me that I should not be swearing the name of God, now I no longer swear. So me, I'm okay. I'm fine there. I no longer swear. Now listen to this. To be holy means to be set apart for special purposes. What you need to know is that anything that is rare is expensive, even just in a day-to-day life. Rare in Luganda is what? Anything that is rare is expensive. You know gold, you know diamond. Where do you see it? So, because they are rare, they are very expensive, valuable. Yeah, so that's how also God is. God is rare, therefore very expensive and valuable. So to be holy is to set apart, to separate. And theologians have got two words that they use, the transcendence and the immanence. Let me just quickly explain to you here. The immanence is the fact that God is with us here. God is with us here. He's our friend, even as I'm talking, he's here. He's not far from us. That's why you don't need to scream when you are praying. You can even pray from inside your heart, God is there. But also the transcendence means that God is far separated from his creatures or creation. He's there. So now here, we are on the transcendence. God is set apart from us. God is holy. So, is to be set apart for special purposes. Thus, not Rachel, keeping God's name holy is not simply a matter of how we speak about God. Also, I'm going to stop to saying, oh my God. I'm going to stop swearing in the name of God. So, we need to know that to keep his name holy is not only it's not only or simply a matter of how we speak about God. Rather, it refers to giving God a special place in our life, the highest place as our God. So you see now how to keep the name of God holy is coming from mere words to lifestyle, to daily lifestyle. And that's where trouble comes. I'd rather leave it on the words. We can control ourselves. Okay, I'm going to control myself from not speaking the name of God. But when we move it from mere words to life now, the way you live your life, then trouble comes. To keep his name holy refers to giving God a special place in our life, the highest place of our God. Keeping God's name holy includes honoring God in every part of our life, every single part, the way you eat food, the way you walk, the way you dress up, the way you talk. You don't take anything for granted if you want to keep the name of God holy. In teaching his disciples to pray like this, Jesus draws upon the language of Leviticus. He was bringing the language of Leviticus to these disciples, where God instructs his people in Leviticus 19:2. God told his people, you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's what, so Peter also quoted these words in his letters. But it's God who told the children of Israel in Leviticus 19:2 that you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Therefore, we honor God as holy by being holy ourselves. So you want to keep the name of God holy, then just work at you being holy. That's the shortcut. There's no other way. By being holy ourselves in matters of piety and relationships with others, in worship and justice. Try to be holy yourself. Thus, keeping God's name holy involves our whole lives as we serve God in all we do, in everything that we do. But what does it mean to keep God's name holy? The question still comes. Indeed, it means more than, I've just told you, it means more than that we should not swear by using God's name. Jesus would be concerned about more than the "Oh my God" that is common to today's world. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. As we end, the name has power. The name has meaning. You find it in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the meaning of the name Jesus. Because now, as I'm winding up, God has got many names, that because his names come together with his character. God is holy. God is merciful. God is love. God is. Now, all the names and titles of God, all of them were summed up in one short name, Jesus. When the end of time came, because Jesus Christ was born at the end of the time. Since Jesus Christ came up to our time, as we are living here at the end of the world. So now, at the end of time, at the end of the world, all the names of God were summed up in one short name, Jesus. Listen to what the angel told Mary, told Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Listen, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the mission of Jesus Christ here on earth. He came not to give you cars and those houses that you are yearning for. He did not come to give you spouses, wife and husband. He did not come to give you children, although he does give them. Because you might misinterpret that and say, no, these guys are saying that God does not bless people with. No. But Jesus Christ did not come to give you that visa to go abroad. To give you, he came to save you from your sins. So, the name Jesus Christ is now the name of God. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be kept holy. That name Jesus. Jesus is the great I am. Himself told the Pharisees, you are boasting to me, Abraham, our father Abraham. Your father Abraham before he was, I am. Jesus Christ in the New Testament. That father, and people looked at him and were like, what am I listening to? This is just the son of people we know here in our area. The son of Mary and Joseph. He was just born yesterday here. Remember, Jesus Christ died a young man. He died at age 33. Very young. But who is comparing himself with their great, 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 great grandfather? Before he was, I am. Jesus is the great I am. How do you take his name? And again, last week, me and my brother Nathaniel had a podcast under that. In Jesus' name. That was the title of our podcast, that episode. In Jesus' name. We are living in the world of, in Jesus' name, omnipresence. It's everywhere. That is mentioning the name or taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. You pronounce it where you're not supposed to pronounce it. Do we say that you should not pronounce it? No. But pronounce it where it's necessary. As I've just told you here. You know? It's something that you need to pronounce it at the right time for right purposes. But not like even the so-called gospel songs that you are listening to. It will be fine with you in Jesus' name. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow in Jesus' name. Now, no more pain, no more sorrow. In their context, it's not any time after this life, but it's here. They are meaning, if you come to Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus, there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrow. How many people, pastors, are stealing from Ugandans here in Jesus' name? Even during this shutdown period, they are not settled from their homes. They are asking people to send that seed in Jesus' name. Even if you don't have enough to eat with your family, don't mind. Just get the fattest, the biggest. Send it to me in Jesus' name. So you see, friends, taking the name of this great God for granted. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that because he obeyed the Father, therefore he was given a name that is greater than any other name, above any other name, that in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The most powerful name, the name of Jesus Christ. And again, Acts tells us, remember here, 4:12. I like these passages. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name. So you see that God's salvation is in the name. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The power of God is in the name. The character, the identity of God is in the name. Now the name that was given to us now is Jesus. And now, who among us here does not misuse the name of God? So now, if it comes to, okay, even speaking, in our daily speeches, we use the name of God. Even me, the preacher here. Sometimes you think that preachers, what they are talking about does not concern them. Because if you use the name of Jesus, of God, of Yahweh, in an unworthy manner, you are taking it in. And God said, He will not take you. It is not a small thing to Him. You will not be guiltless before Him. So, all of us, we use the name of God in vain many times every day. Okay, and I remember I told you that is somehow okay. When it comes to to lifestyle, now it's worse. Trouble. At least if it remains with just speech, we can try to refrain to it. But when it comes to lifestyle, how do we live our lives, then we miss the mark, all of us. And that's where trouble is. What should we do now? Not even one individual. I know many heroes of faith in the Bible, in history, in church history, heroes of faith, good preachers, but all of them together with us, all of them always misuse the name of God, either with speech or with our lifestyle. Only one person called Jesus, He alone put this prayer in practice. Hallowed be your name. The only person who hallowed the name of God is Jesus. The rest of us, we have failed. Even these big names that you hear, pastors and good preachers, who are still living and those who died, all of us have failed to hallow God's name, to keep it praised, glorified. Only Jesus Christ came here and He managed to hallow God's name. So He did that on our behalf, so that after getting a tick from God the Father, yes, you've managed through your life to hallow my name, to keep it praised, so now it's upon you to pass it to your brethren. And now Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Once you give your life to Christ, that great exchange happens. He takes your sins and He gives you His righteousness. In that package of His righteousness, even to hallow God's name is part of it, comes with it. So what am I saying? Even as I was preparing for this message, I concluded myself that it's very difficult. Obviously, we are working towards that. And by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to hallow the name of God, to keep it praised. But we do it every day in Christ Jesus. We who are in Christ Jesus, we hallow His name. We keep it praised in Jesus. Otherwise, outside Jesus Christ, you cannot. First of all, if you say, can fume, let me try. You can start trying today if you're outside Jesus Christ. But you want to try to hallow, to keep the name of God holy, glorious, you will not manage because it's not easy. But in Jesus, the only name that has been given unto us, through which we are saved, the name of Jesus, embrace Him. Again, don't think that you'll be sinless. No one is sinless here. I sin against you every day. You know it, by the way. You, my children, I think know my weaknesses more than our church members who are not always with me. But I always tell you, if the trumpet sounds, I'm going to pierce these skies. Because it's not all about works. I gave my life to Christ, and that's why I cry to you always, give your life to Christ. And if you grow in the knowledge of these things, when someone does something wrong and is a born again Christian, truly born again, you know that that's because of this sinful life or bodies we are wearing. But the thing is to give your life to Christ. Call upon Him, ask Him to have mercy upon you, to forgive you. Otherwise, all of us, our lifestyles are not good, the nations are fair. The way we do this, the way we talk about people, talk about our neighbor, okay, yeah, you backbite, you do this. When are we going to hallow His name? Our Father, He says, therefore pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be kept holy. My brother, my sister, let us keep the name of God holy by checking everything about our lives, not only our speech, how we think, the thoughts of our mind, how we talk, how we walk, how we dress up, our relationships with others, and so forth. That's the meaning. That's how one, a human being, can keep God's name holy. If you fail to be holy as He is, then you are failing to keep His name holy. May the Lord have mercy on us. Father, we thank You for these words. We have one prayer, that You help us keep Your name holy. We are yearning for that, Lord. While others are yearning for vehicles and promotions at their places of work and plots of land and big houses, Lord, some of us are yearning to keep Your name holy. We cannot manage on our own. Let Your Spirit empower us to keep Your name holy by keeping our own lives holy. Oh Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.